Welcome to today's program. My name's Patricia King, and I'm really glad that you've joined us. I have with me today Pastor Che On of H-Rock Fellowship, and you're also the apostolic leader and founder of HIM, HIM,
right.
Harvest
International Ministries.
International Ministries. It's all about
Him.
right on. That's great. Yeah. Well, I'm excited, Che, to have you on the program today, especially as we're talking about Spirit-Led Evangelism. And of course, that is the title of your new book, Spirit-Led Evangelism, Reaching the Lost Through Power and Love. And
right.
I love that. So what prompted you to
Well, first of all, let me say it's an honor to be on your program. And thank you, Patricia, for having me. And you know, I've been an evangelist all my life. The moment I should say my believing, since I came to know the Lord at the age of 17. But I had such an incredible encounter with the love of Jesus Christ. No one witnessed to me, ironically. No
wow.
one shared the gospel. I was into Zen Buddhism. I was a drug pusher, drug addict. I was a high school dropout, thrown in jail at the age of 15, and hitchhiking around the country. I had hair down to my waist. And so I was into Eastern religion,
mm-hmm.
but I was so dissatisfied. I was so empty. And I did have some Christian truths that my parents shared with me when I was a little boy, but I was a latchkey kid. My parents were immigrants that were trying to survive in America.
So were your parents Christians?
They were, yeah.
And, wow,
when,
and
I should say,
that.
Looking back, you know, they became much more committed after my conversion.
Right.
But my background is that my dad was a pastor, but he was a liberal pastor.
Right.
He was into God is dead theology. He had went to a very liberal seminary, never preached the gospel, and it was more of a social gospel, trying to bring democracy to Korea, because at that time was under mm-hmm. a dictator. So he was an activist. And so, you know, I mean, he played cards on the weekends, and I mean, there's nothing wrong with drinking, but he, you know, drank as a pastor. So I didn't see much of a difference between his
right.
lifestyle and what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it was drugs. And so I got deeply involved in the whole hippie
right.
drug culture. And so in the midst of this, I was searching. That's why I got into Zen. I wanted to find my own religion. I wanted to find the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so dissatisfied. I was at a party with my friends. We're just drinking beer, smoking marijuana, nothing heavy. But I went into another room to go through my Zen chant. And as I'm going through my Zen chant, after around 5 minutes of chanting, I said, you know, this is so stupid. I've been doing this for over a year. Got nothing out of it.
Right.
And so I began to talk to God audibly, and this is where I said, Patricia, I said, God, I don't even know if you exist. So in many ways, I was more of an agnostic. But I said, if you do exist, and if there really is a heaven and a hell, because that's where my Christian influence
sure.
comes in, I just want to know the truth. And if Jesus is the way, just show me. I just need to know the truth. The moment I uttered those words audibly in that room, in that bedroom by myself, the presence of God came in.
Wow.
I immediately got sober. And I had such a revelation of Jesus, but I had a revelation of his love for me and his mercy. Because I was not a good person. I mean, I didn't share with you all the crimes I committed,
right.
but I was a drug pusher and a drug addict. And the moment that revelation hit me, I just began to weep in that room and sobbing as if someone was holding me. And it still brings tears to me when I recall that encounter.
Right.
And so I knew that I knew that Jesus is what I was looking for. And it stunned me because he was there in front of me, represented by my parents, even though it was more religion
right.
that was represented, not the personal relationship, and no one had really shared with me. And it so stunned me that I could not stop weeping for the next 3 days. Off and on throughout the day, I would just break down with this revelation of God's love. So no one witnessed to me,
right.
but I cried out to God, and I just asked him to show me the truth.
Yeah,
but
you
the
got
seeds
saved
that,
by
yeah,
a revelation
yeah, it was
an
by
encounter.
Revelation. It was an encounter.
Mm-hmm.
I share in Spirit-Led Evangelism that the real turning point was at 2 weeks later at a Deep Purple concert. My friend, my best friend, bought me tickets because I was out of the city. I was hitchhiking around, but I was coming
mm-hmm.
back for this concert. That's why I was back in town. And Deep Purple, in 1973, they were the number one rock band.
Right.
And they had the number one song, Smoke on the Water. At the Baltimore Civic Center, where I grew up in Maryland, they had sold out in a matter of hours, 15,000 tickets. And we had the best seat in the house, third row, center stage.
Wow.
And so I was really looking forward to the concert. And there was another band before the concert. And so here I am sitting there waiting for Deep Purple to come on during the intermission, just saving the seats because those days people would just crash up front and take your seats if you know, we're not talking about a Christian concert here. We're talking about a heavy metal rock concert. So my friends wanted to pick up some girls and all that. They're walking around and I'm saving their seat. And I'm having this dialogue with God about the encounter I had at the party. And I said, I know you're real. I know, Jesus, you're what I'm looking for. But I don't know what to do. I said, can I take drugs? Can I smoke as long as it's not hard drugs? I'm trying to make a bargain with God. I said, as long as I don't sell. I knew that was wrong because my conscience was telling me something's wrong with selling it. But I said, if I don't push and I just take it recreationally, I said, okay. I was saying things like, is it okay to have sex if you have a meaningful relationship and it's, you know, someone that you care about? Mm-hmm. You know, but of course, you know, I'm 17. I didn't want to, I'm not thinking about marriage.
Right.
So I'm thinking about monogamous type of commitment and relationship. And so I'm trying to make a deal like this with God because he showed so much love to me. And I said, what can I do? Because no one was there to disciple me.
Wow.
So during that time, two guys came up and they sat down next to me in my friend's seat. So I leaned over to tell them, hey, these seats are taken. And they looked different from everyone else. They had short hair. You know, we all had long hair back in those days.
Right.
And but before I could get a word out of my mouth, he spoke to me and he said, you think you're right with God, but you're still far from him.
Wow.
And you're going to have to show God that you're really serious about following him.
Wow.
And with that, they got up and they walked away. And I totally freaked out. And I said, okay, what does that mean? God, who are these people? Are they, to this day, Patricia, I don't know if they're radical Christians
or
who
angels,
were giving a word
or,
of not, or angels. Yeah. But I did know, I heard the voice of God for the first time. I heard the voice, it was an inner audible voice, and he said, if you want to follow me, you have to throw away your drugs and leave this concert, because this concert represents your lifestyle and life and your values. You have to leave this concert, and you're talking about giving up the best seat of the number one band. It would be like seeing the Beatles, you know, they were at their peak, you know, and to walk away from that. And everything within me was screaming, my flesh was screaming, there's no way I'm going to do this, but I heard God speak to me, if you want to follow me, you have to leave this concert.
This is so amazing.
Yeah. And so when he spoke that to me, and all of a sudden Deep Purple came on. The lights were flashing, the smoke was coming out, because their first song was Smoke on the Water, the number one hit. And I could still hear that, you know, the bass and the electric guitar going on. And everyone stood up and rushed to the front. I was trapped. You know, this is, again, not an Amy Grant or Michael W. Smith concert. We're talking about a heavy metal concert. And so everyone rushed up to the front, and I was trapped. So I had an excuse to say, well, God, you know, I do want to leave, but I can't because there's a sea of people.
Right.
But I heard him say again, I want you to leave. And I realized I had to be intentional. I had to make a real choice, and I had to fight my way through a wall of people to get out of the Baltimore Civic Center. And that's what delivered me from drugs. That was the last night I did drugs. And from that point on, I've been drug-free for since 1973. It's been
that
amazing.
Is so amazing.
Yeah.
I had a similar experience with the love of God. I got saved through the love of God, too. It was like
wonderful.
Liquid love filled me. I still, to this day, and I relate to you saying tears well up inside your heart when you think about it, because God is love.
Yes.
And he just cares so much about us. Right. But I remember as a young Christian also having the conviction of the Spirit about many things. Nobody told me to stop doing this or stop doing that, but I would read things in the Bible as a young Christian. It was just like, okay, God doesn't like that. Okay, we won't do that. Oh, he likes that. We'll do that.
Right.
But it was just out of this passionate awareness of his presence, but a passionate love for him in return for what he had given.
And that's what compels us. You know, that's why Paul says, the love of Christ compels me, because if people are afraid of evangelism, for example, and I share in my book, perfect love casts out fear. And that's why people need to have a fresh revelation of the Father's heart for them, the love of God for them, and to really be filled with his love, because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, it says in Romans chapter 5. And I just want to encourage people that if they had problems with evangelism, I define evangelism in my book as overflow.
Yeah, overflow of love.
Overflow
Amen.
Of love, because you're so full of love. And now the abundance of the heart and the mouth speaks. So when you say, how long have I been doing this? I've been doing it all my Christian life. In fact, at the party, Even at the party, when I had this encounter the 2 weeks before the Deep Purple concert,
right.
I went back to the party with my group of friends. There were like 7, 8 guys right. just sitting around, and they were bonging on the water pipe. The Michael Phelps was using the same model. I saw it. And they were sitting there, and I just said, guys, I said, you won't believe it. I had this experience, and I said, I know what we're all looking for. It's Jesus.
Wow.
And my best friend, John Mazur, my best friend thought I had just taken one toke too many. And he said, man, you have really flipped out, you know?
and
I said, John,
you know,
it really is. I said, yeah. I had an encounter with Jesus.
And when you have an encounter with Jesus, there's no question about it. You know what happened to you, Che, is that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, visited you, encountered you, set you up
yeah.
for a transformed life. And that same Holy Spirit that touched you in 1973 is in us today, and he could use any one of us
right.
to release visitation and encounter to another. And you know what? That is what Spirit-led evangelism is about. You are being marked to reach the lost. You are being marked to have that overflow of his love, to follow the Spirit of God who will lead people into encounter and revelation that will bring them to Christ and seal their heart into salvation forever. We're going to be right back with a lot more stories.
Order Cheyenne's new book, Spirit-Led Evangelism, Reaching the Lost Through Power and Love, full of insights and testimonies that equip you to walk in power evangelism. Call 866-980-5464 and order television offer 119 or go online at xpmedia.com and purchase this evangelism tool for just $13. Spirit-Led Evangelism, Reaching the Lost Through Power and Love. Order today.
No, I can't do Thursday. No. I have Haley's recital. I don't understand what the problem is. No, you don't understand.
No puedo. ¿Qué más puede pasar? Me estoy volviendo.
This is really good, babe. Just keep it coming.
Submit your work to the 2011 New Media Fest. Go to christianfilmfest.org.
Try less anger.
He's going to heal you of those things that happened to you as a little boy.
Y él te va a sanar todas las cosas que tú sufriste cuando eras un pequeño niño.
That turned you into an angry young man.
Que te volvió a ser un hombre enojón.
And that made you feel like that you were the only one in the world you had to protect yourself.
Y tú sentiste en un momento que tú eras el único hombre en el mundo y que tú te tenías que proteger por ti
mismo. And God says, you don't have to protect yourself.
Y Dios dice, tú no te tienes que proteger a ti mismo.
He will protect you.
Dios te va a proteger.
And he has been your deliverer.
Y él te va a proteger.
And he will deliver you again.
Y él te va a librar de nuevo.
But he has such a destiny for your life.
Become a Breaker Team partner today. Go online to xpmedia.com.
Well, welcome back, and I'm sure that a lot of you who know the reputation of Che An, and you know, as a global apostolic leader, you never dreamt that he would have been a hippie with long hair and going out to all these rock concerts and, you know, delving into Zen Buddhism. Look what God did in his life, and there's many more that are going to be rescued from darkness, even in this very hour.
Absolutely.
By visitation of the Holy Spirit. Now, what do you think it was, Che, that that set you up for so much encounter from God?
Yeah, it's amazing because no one witnessed to me at that point, but I know without question people were praying for me. My grandparents on my mother's side, for example, they were very, very godly. And in fact, they were the founding elders of this church called Yongnak Presbyterian, which is now the world's largest Presbyterian
right.
church, 80,000 members in Seoul. But they were members when it started in 1945,
wow.
Before the Korean War. And my grandfather was a banker. My grandmother was a registered nurse. And when I was born, it was a home birth, and she delivered me because she was a registered nurse. and she was a midwife, and so my dad was at work, and he was a school teacher at that time before he became a pastor, and he couldn't get back in time when I was delivered, and so my grandfather immediately dedicated me to Jesus Christ. And I found this out later on, because he had always wanted a son to be one of his three sons to be a pastor, my uncles. None of them. They were all business people. Two of them really got spirit-filled, and one was a cabinet member for two presidents. So they were very successful, and they were followers of Jesus, but they weren't in vocational full-time ministry.
Wow.
So he said, I pray. He said that Che would come to know Jesus Christ, but he would also be a pastor. Can you believe that?
Wow.
And so here I am, a pastor, so that prayer was answered. And so they were praying. So when they heard about me getting involved in drugs, they were praying. And I say this, Patricia, if your grandmother's praying for it, that's it. You don't have a chance. You will get saved.
That's
and so,
awesome,
so I know they were praying for me, but I also had an amazing encounter. There was another Korean, there were like three Koreans in my high school at that time, mm-hmm. When I dropped out of school. And I got saved, went back to school, and this girl named Kelly Kim, she was now adopted by American parents who mm-hmm. adopted this Korean girl from Korea. She came running down the hall. This is a girl that I would never have hung out with because she was a Christian, straight girl. I was a drug with my drug friends. But she came up and literally hugged me and said, Che, I heard you just gave your life to Jesus Christ because I had gotten my hair cut and everything.
Right.
I did this to honor my dad. And then went back to school, and I said, yeah. She said, you won't believe what happened. And I said, what are you talking about? She said, one day my dad, around a year ago, was coming home from work, and he saw you with your friends passing the pipe in the car, because we lived in the same
right.
neighborhood. He came home, and he said, I saw Cheon with his friends. Because I was Korean,
right.
he knew about me. And he said, we're going to pray for Cheon at the dinner table
wow.
every night. And so we've been praying for you every night.
And
so
that.
Before we bless the food, we lift up your name.
Oh.
I mean, I didn't even know this family. But God
awesome.
Had placed my name on their heart. And so when I got converted, they came up and she gave me that big hug and story.
You know, Che, the word says in 1 John 5:14-15, that if we pray according to his will, he hears us.
Mm-hmm.
And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have the request that we ask of him.
Right.
Well, it's his will. For people to be saved.
Absolutely.
And I've seen people even driving down the highway or walking on a sidewalk where I feel the quickening of the Holy Spirit to claim their salvation, and I'll pray for them. I might never see them again, but you know, with that promise, you can be assured that
Absolutely.
It opens a way for God to visit them and to encounter them. And I remember a time when a friend of mine, she had been serving the Lord for many years, and praying for her unsaved husband,
mm-hmm.
but he had not given his heart to the Lord. In fact, if anything, he was very, very resistant and cynical. And so he was away on a trip, and she phoned me one morning just crying. She says, I just can't take it anymore. He's just, you know, he's just so far from God, and I've been praying all these years. And I said, don't get discouraged. Let's pray together right now. And we started praying. And the Spirit of God led me to pray for laborers to be put in his path in such a way that he would know that God was chasing him right into a corner of love. So we prayed that way. And then he got home from the trip, and she said, how did it go? It's a business trip. He said, oh my goodness. He said, everywhere I went, all these like Christians were on my case. He said, I sat in one meeting, and there was one beside me. He was reading his Bible, and then he starts telling me about Jesus. And then we go up for lunch, and I've got another one sitting on another side. And every single place he went,
right.
he was encountered by Christians. And he said to her, this God must be real, because it doesn't make any sense why it felt like God was chasing me.
Yeah, right.
And he used those exact
right.
words. So prayer really opens the way.
Absolutely. You know, in 1 Timothy 2:1, Paul urges
yeah.
with prayer, intercession, supplication, with thanksgiving, be made be on behalf
men.
Of all people.
Yeah.
Right, exactly, because he desires that
mm-hmm.
all, all to be saved.
Yeah.
There was a great missionary, J. Oswald Saunders, who wrote the book Spiritual Leadership.
Right.
He said this. He said, it is doubtful that any soul is saved apart from the believing prayer of some saint. So when you think about it, someone was praying for you too, Patricia,
right.
before you gave your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I've asked this question. I said, in front of thousands of people, I said, how many of you know that someone was praying for you before
right.
before you gave your life to the Lord? And almost every hand goes up.
Mm-hmm.
Only those who really didn't
know,
but who knows? Like, I would never have guessed
right.
that Kelly Kim was praying for me
right.
until she told me that.
Right.
And so That's the power of prayer.
That's so, exciting.
So what my wife and I did, we wrote down in the back of our Bible the name of all these people in our family, among her family members. She came out of a Roman Catholic background.
Right.
And we had some like 23 names. We saw everyone get saved. And my uncle, who was a Buddhist and multimillionaire, we're talking about over 20 years of intercession for him. And then finally, he gets in a big fight with my aunt. He actually physically abused her, hit her while he was drunk. He was an alcoholic. And she called me up and said, "What should I do?" And I said, "Aunt, get out of the house, you know, just protect yourself." And so she left him, and she was gone for like 3 months. He called me and said, "Where is she?" And I didn't know. But he lived in Seattle at that time. I thought he was going to get on an airplane, come down to LA and beat me up, really. He was so angry.
Wow.
And we had prayed. I said, "God, whatever it takes to get him saved." And so he gets this flyer in the mail, Benny Hinn Crusade in Anchorage, Alaska. And obviously, because my aunt was spirit-filled, she went to Benny Hinn's Crusades and all that. And so he thought to himself, maybe if this guy's helped her, maybe I should check out this meeting. So he's a jet setter, flies to Anchorage, goes to the crusade. Benny Hinn gives an altar call. He's the only one that comes forward based on his testimony.
Wow.
And my aunt is there, but they don't know. And she's in the top
arena
watching him come forward. He gives his heart to the Lord. He goes down under the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit touched him. He's on the floor. And under the power of the, and he has a vision of Jesus, his face right above his face with the crown of thorns, and the blood is dripping on his face. He breaks in, he's delivered from alcoholism, he's weeping. And so, here is a man in his 60s that has it. So we prayed for him, and it took a while. But God finally, and so we were able to scratch him off our list.
I love it. How about you? Do you have people in your life that you've been praying for? Does this encourage you? Do you realize that God, in a moment just like that, can just break into their heart at that perfect timing, and they can surrender to Jesus? And you know what? If you're praying, they will. So keep praying. Now, we don't have much time yet, but I wanted you to share the testimony about the friendship evangelism, because I think sometimes, Che, people think, "Oh, evangelism, that's not for me. Right. I can't get up and preach in a pulpit, or I can't get out on the street and you know, go tell people it's just publicly about the Lord."
Right.
But you told me a story about a neighbor that you reached just by being friends with
him. Well, Jesus was a friend of sinners, and he came to serve, not to be served, but to serve. And so we made a commitment to really reach out to our friends and neighbors, because, you know, I live in a Christian ghetto with a lot, you know, I'm a pastor, so I'm just surrounded by Christians. So every year we would give a Christmas gift or an Easter basket during Easter time. And so we had been serving, loving in practical ways, had them over for dinner, just developing friendship. But one day I'm walking out out of the house to go to the church office. At the same time, my neighbor Ann, who is a hospice nurse, is coming out at the same time. She calls me over and she said, "Pastor Jay, could you come over here?" I go over there and she said, "I have a patient that is in a coma. He's been in coma for 2 months. And she said, she's 90 years old. I think she's going to die any minute. And so could you come and give the last rites?" Now, she comes from a Roman Catholic background.
So she thought you were the priest.
I'm a priest. And to be honest with you, I have no clue how to do the last rites. So anyway, I just want to serve her. And I thought to myself, well, you know, I could just go and follow her to the house, because as a hospital nurse, you go to people's homes. And so I said, I'll do that. And so I went to the house just to serve. And when I got there, I was just going to pray this little prayer and just leave. But God told me to pray for this woman to be awakened out of the coma. So I just prayed in Jesus' name. And I said, "Ann, do you mind if I pray a different kind of prayer? I want to pray that God heals her." And she gave me a weird look, like, I knew you guys were a fanatic.
Yeah.
This confirms it. But I stepped down in faith, and I just commanded Lois to come out of the coma. And she came out instantly. The moment she started telling me, and in short, she said, "I knew if I died, I would go to hell. And I would pray to God, God, keep me alive until you send someone to tell me how I can get to heaven." And I said, "Lois, God has answered your prayer. God has sent me to tell you." And she ended up, Lois gave her life to the Lord, lived another 2 more months. The other nurse who was there witnessed this miracle, got saved, and Ann gave her life to Jesus Christ.
Oh, this is so amazing. I love it.
So friendship, but also the power of God.
Yeah, and you've just been nurturing. Sometimes, you know, it aggravates me sometimes that when we're not led by the Spirit, sometimes we just get our flesh into it.
Yeah.
So here's this beautiful person that God loves, but instead of just building friendship with them and just loving them for who they are, it's like preaching at them, and you got to, you know, cram it down their throat or something,
exactly.
But they're not ready. Because
right.
they're not hungry yet.
Exactly.
But through the building of friendship, then trust is built.
Absolutely.
And then at the right moment, the Holy Spirit can reach them because it takes a revelation.
Yeah, for her to ask me to help her out, you know that there was a relationship of security and trust built.
Awesome. Awesome. Isn't this amazing? You know, you've got people in your life too. I know it. Just love them to life in Jesus. And remember this about yourself. God loves you with an everlasting love. He really, really, really does.
Order Cheyenne's new book, Spirit-Led Evangelism, Reaching the Lost Through Power and Love, full of insights and testimonies that equip you to walk in power evangelism. Call 866-980-5464 and order television offer 119 or go online at xpmedia.com and purchase this evangelism tool for just $13. Spirit-Led Evangelism, Reaching the Lost Through Power and Love. Order today.
Become a Breaker Team partner today. Go online to xpmedia.com.
I know some of you are saying, well, I want this kind of love. I want this kind of overflow of God's love for the lost. And I want to pray for you right now. I want, because the Bible says, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? We just simply have to ask in faith. Would you put your hand on your chest right now as you're watching and pray this prayer with me? Just say, Heavenly Father, fill me afresh with your Spirit. I receive your love. Give me more of your love so I can give this away. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Ah. Mm-hmm.